Good morning and welcome to the St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church online service for February 21st. I'm Pastor Randy Clausen, sharing ministry together with Pastor Nick Sherman and youth worker Taya Himes. On the Christian calendar, today is the first Sunday of Lent. The season of Lent is the 6 weeks leading to Easter Sunday, and is a time of reflection on one's relationship with God. I greet you with these words of Jesus. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus had been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days as he began his ministry. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy in response to the devil's temptation for him to turn stones into bread. Our sermon series for the next few weeks will explore several spiritual disciplines, inviting you as a practice to grow in your relationship with God. Later, Pastor Nick will share on the topic fasting, taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Earlier, there was an invitation extended, if you're comfortable and able, to skip breakfast and lunch today as a practice of fasting. At the conclusion of our service, you'll be invited to share a service of communion at home as a means of ending your fast. Pastor Nick will relate to this later in the message. If you've not already prepared, take a moment to gather bread and cup to be shared at the conclusion of our service. Just a couple of announcements to let you know what's happening. At 10:45 this morning, Pastor Nick will be hosting again a Zoom meeting for discussion and questions related to the message, and just an opportunity for you to catch up with one another. Contact Pastor Nick for the link and access code to join in. There are also weekly reflections from the Psalms, and contact Pastor Nick or the church office to receive a copy of that. Number of other happenings online, 11:30 this morning, the grades 7 to 11, Sunday school are gathering. This week, Middle of Life group will meet on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, Senior Youth Friday at 7, and next Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, grades 3 to 6, Sunday school are online. For access to these and other ministries, contact the church office or youth worker Taya Himes. With the postal delivery delays lately, many of our church members did not receive the annual report book in time, and therefore church council has extended opportunity for you to respond with your feedback until March 16th. If you haven't received a copy of that report book, contact the office. And to provide a response to the reports or channel questions, contact the church office, Alvin or Kevin, before March 16th. With the region of Niagara still in lockdown as to the pandemic, Sunday services will continue online at least until March 21st. Likewise, our church staff continue to work from home, and please, if there is any need or concern, feel free to contact them by phone or email at home. And certainly, we are looking forward to the time when we can meet again in person for worship and sharing as a faith community. Stay tuned for announcements about that. At this time, I invite you to reflect on Psalm 34 as we begin our worship. Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions grow weary and weak, hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Thus far, the prayer from the psalm, and we invite Aaron and Tommy Friesen to lead us in music. I want to take opportunity to thank the many people who make our service possible. There are those of us who you see, but there are many others behind the scenes making our services possible for you to participate in. And we thank each and every one of them for that. As with many other things, so much these days is dominated in the news and otherwise by our lives, by the COVID virus, and we tend to forget that other aspects of life continue. And for that, we want to share in prayer. I invite you to bow with me. God, your steadfast love for us never changes. In the shifting sands of our lives, you remain consistent, a provider of care and compassion. In these days, we long for change. We are weary of the limitations of the virus pandemic. We long for the opportunity to be together as family and friends, to see each other's face, to touch loved ones with a hug. We are weary of isolation for our protection against a deadly disease. We long to celebrate family milestones by being together. We long to worship as a faith community in prayer, singing songs of faith, and hearing your word. We are weary, and we long for change. Come, Lord Jesus, come and change our lives for the sake of your salvation. Lead us out of this tunnel of darkness. Lead us out of the dread of suffering. Lead us beyond death to new life and life everlasting. Today we remember families who feel the limitations of life online. We pray for those who feel isolated. We hold before you essential workers who keep our community functioning. We pray for wisdom of leaders and for ourselves, for inspiration and creativity as we look to Jesus, our true joy. This morning we want to hold before you for healing Jutta and Reinhold of our faith community, for others whose names we share. We pray for families, local business owners, and others who are struggling financially as we seek ways to support one another, to be community for one another. We pray with thanksgiving for all you provide and share our tithes and offerings for the sake of your kingdom, here on earth as it is in heaven. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for joining us this morning as we continue to worship in faith.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
I like to eat. You might not necessarily be able to tell it by looking at me, but I like to eat. I'm someone who appreciates comfort food at any time, really. And in this past year, where it's often felt like the world is just continually spinning out of control, I think there's been a definitely an added level of comfort in it. Maybe you can relate to this. So I can say, as we've all dealt with the challenges and changes and anxiety of these past several months, I've found myself trying to lean into different spiritual practices as a way of trying to draw close to God and depend on God in this time. But fasting hasn't been one of them, because I like to eat. And because I think it's a point of control and a source of comfort for me. Because it's just plain uncomfortable not to eat. Having young children, sleep often goes out the window, and I find myself becoming a much more irritable and impatient and worrisome person. Add an empty stomach to that. I'm not sure you or anyone else wants to meet that person, if you can even call them a person at that point. This morning we're starting a new sermon series, which we're calling Practicing What We Preach. And for this series, we're doing something a bit different, kind of departing from our usual pulpit monologues, and I'm going to be inviting you to participate in a different spiritual practice each week. These will be things that you can do regardless of where you find yourself. You won't be asked to stand up or say anything or move around or anything like that. So they're all things that you can do simply by listening and following along quietly wherever you are. We're starting off this series today with this practice of fasting. We've chosen this particular practice, fasting, to start because this week, you'll know, marks the start of Lent, this 40-day period from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. And Lent is this time when Christians traditionally have often fasted. And so the timing makes sense. But I have to say it, I really wrestled with whether to include this spiritual practice in the series. We're looking at lots of different practices relating to prayer and scripture reading. But should we really be talking about fasting? How do I talk about it if I do? Because in a way, I think it can maybe come across as a bit tone deaf at this time, maybe even laughable. After all, besides sleeping, eating is one of the very few things that we haven't had to give up while under a stay-at-home order or living in lockdowns. Really, it feels like we've been practicing self-denial for nearly a year already. Isn't that enough? In a way, it's been really nice, I think, to indulge a little food-wise during a difficult time. It's been helpful for our family, at least, to show ourselves grace at the table during this stage of life and as we've tried to make our way through this challenging season. It's been helpful to agree that we'd have a panic button that we can hit for a pickup meal once a week if we've had a rough day. So all that to say, I want to acknowledge that some of you may feel like you've already had to let go of more than you can handle, and that you just need to sit this practice out or save it for another time. Or maybe you feel you want to think instead about something you could add to your life for Lent instead, after all of these kind of painful and exhausting subtractions we've had to live with. And that's fine, and there's grace there. That said, I've also heard from others that after a year of comfort seeking and Netflix binging and just generally shifted habits, that they're really aching for a kind of spiritual reset, spiritual refocus, and really wanting to practice a form of fasting right now. And so whichever of those might be the case for you, I want to honor that, and I want to invite you to watch and to listen along regardless as we reflect on this practice today. And for those who are wanting to and able to, we've invited you to skip breakfast and lunch and just have drinks and dinner for today, to participate in this partial day fast. Recognize that some of you might have missed the announcement or forgotten, or maybe watching or listening along for the first time and had your bowl of Cheerios already. If that's you, don't worry. You can easily do this some other time, and I'd encourage you to do so. We've also shared that we really want you to do this only if you're comfortable and physically able to do so. Some of you we know might have health concerns or needs related to medications. Some of you might be going into work after this and operating heavy machinery. And for some people, we know that the relationship between food and self is complicated, and this form of fasting from food is just not appropriate. But the invitation is there, and we've shared that with you. And we've chosen this text from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount, to kind of frame our reflection and our practice today. These verses will likely be familiar to many of us. Here Jesus addresses these three different spiritual practices that were common in that day, giving, prayer, and fasting. And he talks about these issues, spiritual issues relating to each of them. And his concerns here are really similar throughout the three parts of his teaching. He focuses mainly on not making a show out of your spiritual practices. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others in order to be seen by them. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. When you pray, don't do it standing in the synagogues or the street corners. And when you fast, don't make a performance out of it. It's often pointed out here that Jesus just assumes that his followers would fast when he speaks in these verses. When you fast, he tells them. Not if you fast, but when. And so I've talked about how I've not found myself practicing fasting this past year. Part of that is that I like to eat, yes. Part of it, again, is that it's felt like we've had to give up everything but the kitchen table, and it simply can't summon the strength to think about giving up anything more. But I think another part of it is that it's simply a practice that's often been neglected by contemporary Christians. It's really foreign to a lot of us, I think. Even Christians who might hold the Sermon in the Mount, Sermon on the Mount in high esteem. Unlike some other faith groups, it's just not something that we do all that often, or that we maybe think that much about. In Jesus' day, however, fasting was a much more commonplace thing among religious groups. And in Jesus' teaching here, we see that it was understood to be a regular part of a life of discipleship. And so Jesus here assumes that his followers would fast. And he tells them not to make a big display of it when they do. Don't trudge around with a megaphone held up to your stomach, he says. Don't try to show people how hungry and by extension how holy you are because of all your fasting. Just like you give in secret, he says, just like you pray in secret, fast in secret. Don't worry about who sees it, Jesus says, because God sees it, and that's what truly matters. So that all provides us with a bit of a biblical backdrop for this spiritual practice of fasting. Those are good things for us to be keeping in mind as we maybe fast today, some of us, and as we participate and reflect on some of these spiritual practices in the coming weeks. These are not legalistic things, Jesus says. They're not that kind of badges of honor that we can wear and show about. We're doing these things with God's watchfulness and not anyone else's approval or admiration in mind. Because we're focusing on actually practicing these things, though, what I want to do right now is to pause and to invite you to take notice. If you're fasting today, I want to invite you to stop and notice how your body feels. This might be something you could do a bit better later on in the day, after you've fasted a bit longer, because I think that a lot of us can probably get by just fine with a coffee in the morning if we need to. But if you are fasting, I'd invite you to take a moment now and pay attention to how it feels. Where and in what ways do you sense the hunger in your body? Has this been easy or difficult? Do you hardly eat during the day anyways and not really notice right now? Or has this actually been really, really hard? Notice your thoughts and your emotions. Are they different from usual? In what way? At the start, I talked about food being a point of control and a source of comfort for me. And my own struggles aside, I think there's something there that's maybe worth paying attention to. Because when we think about the spiritual purpose of the practice of fasting, a lot of it relates to those two things, to control and comforts. When we look at the broader context of how fasting is presented in the Bible and throughout Christian history, how it's been practiced there, we can see that fasting has a number of different functions within a life of faith. One of those is that fasting is a way of rehearsing a posture of self-denial, according to the pattern that's been set for us in the life and death of Jesus. This again is why it's often practiced during this time of Lent, during this time in the church year, because that's the time in the church calendar when we often reflect and remember on those things. And so in fasting, we willingly give up things that we would normally look to for comfort, because that's a habit that we believe helps us become more like Christ. Fasting is also a way of giving up something that we might have in abundance in order to give to others who are in need. The Hebrew prophets, you'll maybe know, talk about this when they talk about fasting, that the kind of fasting that God truly seeks is, again, not a kind of religious performance, but to care for those who are in need, to care for those who are suffering. So sometimes when people fast, they might choose to plan for one more simple kind of meal a week, something like rice and beans, to act in solidarity with those who are hungry, maybe, and to maybe give away what they would spend on that meal to others. Fasting also helps us to move to a place of deeper comfort in our lives, because I believe we're all too often satisfied with shallow comforts. Even in times of crisis, such as those that we found ourselves in this past year, a lot of us might find ourselves turning to places like our screens or skip the dishes in times of trouble. And I think, again, if that's where we're looking to for coping right now, that's probably not the worst thing. Those aren't necessarily entirely bad or unenjoyable things. A glimpse inside our house would quickly reveal our appreciation for them. But I also believe that committing to temporarily give up a source of lesser comforts in our lives can be a way of bringing ourselves back to a place of deeper and truer comforts in God. Fasting also relates to control. It's a way of exposing the things that have control over our lives and building up a kind of spiritual resistance. Anyone who's tried to give up coffee for the full stretch of Lent, I can tell you that you may think you have a lot of control over the cup and the carafe, but it actually has a lot of control over you. I can speak from experience on that one. And the same goes, we know, for everything from social media to online shopping. These things that are actually really carefully designed to keep us hooked and coming back for more. And so spiritual fasting can be a way of practicing spiritual resistance in the way that Jesus fasted while confronted with temptations in the deserts, in the wilderness. Fasting can also be a form of preparation. In the early church, we know that fasting was practiced in the weeks leading up to baptism. It can be a way of trying to open ourselves up for the next season of life and for what it is that God might have in store for us. A kind of way of spiritually engaging any big question mark about what's coming next. In this way, it's often been practiced by Christians during times of discernment or decision-making. It can be a kind of bodily gesture of our spiritual desire to yield to God. The church in Acts, you might remember, for example, fasted when it appointed new leaders. And so in fasting, we might maybe try to give up control in a little way, because we want to be able to give up control in a big way, because we want for the whole of our lives to be under God's leading. Finally, fasting reveals parts of us that are in need of work and helps us to allow God to work on them. Fasting exposes areas of our life that are in need of the Spirit's sanctification. At the start, I talked about needing enough sleep and enough to eat to feel like a decent person and not be a horrible human being to everyone around me. I think that's true to a certain extent. But I also believe that it's true that the raw reality of who we are is revealed when we don't get enough of those things. I become a more worrisome, irritable, and impatient person when I don't have enough food. And I know those are aspects of my life that need work. Those are parts of myself that I need to continually invite God into to help me to grow and mature in. And so fasting can have this way of bringing our character to the surface with a kind of painful clarity, which can lead us to God in hard, but I believe holy and healing ways. I think this is maybe true of our experience in general this past year, as we've involuntarily fasted from so many things. It's revealed parts of ourselves. It's revealed parts of ourselves that need work, that need God's healing and wholeness. And there's an opportunity there and an invitation there to allow God to enter in. And so those are some of the functions of fasting. But again, we're not just inviting you to think about it, to understand it better, but really want to invite you to practice it in some form. And to reflect on that practice, and I hope to consider practicing it again. So if you didn't get to giving up meals today, or aren't comfortable right now, I'd invite you to consider doing so at another time. And if you are someone who feels it would be helpful right now, I'd challenge you to consider maybe a longer term form of fasting that you could do between now and Easter. It can involve anything from cutting out caffeine to quitting Candy Crush, to going meatless, to unplugging the cable TV for a while. Or as I've said, it could be fasting by addition, supplementing your life with something new for these 6 or so weeks. Maybe a daily walk in which you spend time in quiet prayer, or finding a Lenten devotional series online that you can read as a family or on your own at mealtimes, or spending 5 minutes before you go to bed each night for these 40 days, just listening to worship music and reflecting quietly that way. And then no matter what it is, trying to intentionally meet God in that place. To close, I'd invite you to pause and pay attention again. If you are fasting today, call to mind the state of your stomach and your senses again. Now think about those functions, some of those purposes of fasting that I mentioned. Functions of self-denial, or solidarity, or surrendering control, sanctification, and preparation. Which of those resonates most with the situation that you find yourselves in right now? Which of those do you think God might be calling you towards in this time? I'd invite you to ask yourself right now, where do I need to seek God in my life today? Or where might God be seeking me? Is there a part of my life that I need to give God greater control of? Is there a particular way in which the loss of control that we've all experienced this past year has been especially difficult for me? And can I ask God in this time for help with that? Is there a part of me right now that I know needs work and that I can be inviting God to work on in this time? Can giving up something small over these next few weeks help me trust in God's control in a bigger way? And what are some of my dependencies right now? And how might giving one up for a time be a thing that helps me depend more on God? I'd invite you to please pray with me as I close my time now. God, we're grateful that even with the difficulties of disease and distance, you provide us daily bread. We have food on our tables. And God, we know that not everyone does. And so we pray for those who hunger today because they have no other choice. We pray for the organizations that we support that work to meet those needs, the groups who prepare ingredients and send them around the world, the groups who stock food bank shelves, the groups who serve meals in shelters. God, it's such a small thing for us to go without a couple of meals like this for just a few hours. And yet we pray that it would lead us to you. We pray that it would increase our hunger and our thirst for your righteousness and your kingdom as it continues to come in the world. God, you are our deepest comfort, even in times of discomfort, even when all other comforts fail. God, you are in control, even when things feel out of control, even when we want control or cling desperately to the illusion of it. So we turn our lives to you again today. We entrust ourselves to you again today. May you be the Lord of our hearts evermore each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to this service of communion for the first Sunday of Lent. And you're invited to prepare bread and cup from the elements that you have in your own home. The service is intended to be shared with members of your family or if you live alone. Now, the season of Lent invites us to give up something as a spiritual practice. And today's theme is fasting from food, intended to dedicate time to prayer and the awareness of God. The COVID pandemic has forced us to give up many of the activities that are otherwise a natural part of our lives. One of the activities that we, and likely you, dearly miss is having people join us at the table for a meal. When the health measures allow, we look forward to inviting family and others to be at our table once again. As a Christian community, when we share the service of communion, we describe it as sharing at the Lord's table. In doing so, we acknowledge that all who gather at the table are guests at the Lord's invitation. The season of Lent, I sense the invitation of Jesus asking me to give up. Give up deciding who also is invited to the Lord's table. When I partake of the bread and the cup with family and friends, I come to realize that Jesus also invites and welcomes the least of these to share in the joy of God's salvation. Take a few minutes to reflect and to share with God in prayer God's gift of forgiveness and promise of new life. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The bread and cup before you are ordinary bread and cup." And Jesus took that bread and cup that he had at the table, gave thanks to God for the gift of life. We give thanks to God for what Jesus has done for us. His body, broken in sacrifice to redeem you. His blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. I invite you to share with me in prayer. God, during this time of the pandemic, the isolation we all feel, may your Spirit use this experience to open our hearts and minds to new relationships. As I envision other guests who also sit with me at your table, transform my heart from seeing adversaries to seeing friends. I join my heart and voice to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're with someone else, acknowledge each other as you partake of the bread and the cup, as fellow believers in the community of faith. If you are alone, view in your mind's eye people with whom you share faith in Jesus, and acknowledge your commitment with them. Let us partake of the bread and the cup in remembrance of Jesus' teachings, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, his promise to return. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. His blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Reflecting on Pastor Nick's message on fasting, may these words be a blessing to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Thanks for sharing this time together and God's blessings, and certainly we look forward to sharing again at the Lord's table, but also in God's house as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go in peace. Amen.